Good morning, New Life Church. To all the fathers out there, we want to say happy Father's Day. To those of you who are in a father's role, we are thankful for you. And those who have filled in for a father's role when one can't be there, we are also very thankful for you today. In honor of Father's Day, New Life has chosen two of the best fathers around, my dad, Steve and Pete, and me for some reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe because I'm the only one that's awake. Good. Now that we're all present and ready to go, for all the new people that are here at New Life today, if this is your first time, we welcome you. We want to encourage you to get involved, get in touch with the community here. You can do that through the link in the video description below. And of course, the best way to do that, if you feel so prompted to, would be to come to an in-person service. Those are happening now with the guidelines lifting a little bit. And so, yeah, stop by the church. Get in touch, and yeah, if you feel like that's not an option for whatever reason, then definitely get in touch with us on the links in this video description below. To start today's service, we would like to start with a verse from Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Good morning. For the month of June, we're focusing on collecting 150 $10 Starbucks gift cards and 150 personalized thank you cards for the team at ICU and the Abbotsford Hospital. Every day this week, people have been dropping by and dropping off cards, and they've been filling out the encouragement cards that we have here at the church, so you don't have to bring your own encouragement cards. Next time you go through Starbucks, maybe you want to consider just picking up a card or two or five or 10, depends how the Spirit leads you, and drop them off at church and fill out an encouragement card for the ICU team. They would really appreciate that, and we're really thankful for what they do. Also, for those that can't make it to Starbucks, perhaps you want to give through your weekly giving through the church online, and if you want to designate the amount you want to give, please do that, but designate it to Serve Focus. Thank you.
Hey, today there is a New Life Father's Day disc golf tournament. That's quite a mouthful. It's after church today from 12 till 3 o'clock. It's going to be a good time. And invite anyone you want. It's open to your brothers, your fathers. Are you coming? You should.
Am I too old?
No, you're not too old. Yeah. So it'll be a good time. Please register. There's still some openings left. And my goal is to beat this guy. We'll see if that happens, but otherwise, we're going to have a good time.
So, as many of you probably know, things are changing a little bit with COVID, and we are very thankful for that. One of the ways that New Life is changing is we are changing the way that the services look a little bit as far as the online services. So now we are adding an online campus to New Life Ministries. Since the restrictions are changing a little bit, we will be live streaming the services at 11 a.m. Every Sunday morning starting July 4th. And on those services, there will be pastors present. You can receive prayer. You can send comments. It'll just be more of an interactive platform than just the pre-recorded services. So if you are unable to attend church for geographic reasons or health-wise still because of the pandemic, we want to be able to cater to you and to have you involved in the community. So please check that out starting July 4th. That will be happening.
Our offering today is for the Benevolent Fund. And as part of our worship to God, a part of it is to offer to God what he has first given to us. And we encourage you to do that in offering of money, by way of saying thank you to God for all his blessings. The Benevolent Fund is administered by our deacons. And it's given to those families who are in need, perhaps because of the COVID or other reasons, and also to meet their Christian school tuition fund for their children. So I'd like to lead you in prayer for the offering, but also I'd like to have a prayer, lead you in a prayer for the fathers. And I've taken this from the Jesuit Resource Bank at the Xavier Home University. So pray with me, please. Father God, creator of all and sustainer of all, it's our privilege to be part of your big family. And as a part of that, we give to you what you have first given to us. We thank you that we're able to do that faithfully and regularly. We thank you for those that are ministering it, for the deacons. We pray for wisdom. We pray for good counsel. And as they administer these funds to the families that need them, and also for those families that wish to have Christian education for their children, we pray too that those families will receive, humbly receive these gifts, so that perhaps as they look far down the road, when they're back and not needing it, they might also be able to contribute to those families that have need at that particular time in their life. And we thank you too for the fathers as we celebrate Father's Day. And Lord, we remember and pray for those fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. We remember and pray for those fathers who, lacking a good moral model for their fathers, have worked to become a worthy and virtuous father. We remember and pray, Lord, for those fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. As well, let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by words or actions of their children. We remember and pray, Lord, for those fathers who, despite marital discord, have remained in their children's lives. We remember and pray for those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has nourished a life or many lives. We remember and pray, Father, for those who, as stepfathers, freely chose the obligation of fatherhood and earned their stepchildren's love and respect. We remember and pray for those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold that child in their heart. We remember and pray for fathers who have no children, but cherish the next generation as if they were their own. We remember and pray for those fathers who have fathered us in their role as mentors and guides. We remember and pray for those men who are about to become fathers, that they may openly delight in their children. We remember those fathers who have died, but whose love continues to nurture us. We pray that all the fathers and men in our lives and in the world may reflect the pure, perfect love you have given to us through Jesus Christ, so that having your love, we may love also. This is our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for New Life. You can check out the materials by visiting newlifecrc.ca/kids. This week, the Riddle Rangers will be going to the dunes of Damascus. Their adventure in the long-lost ancient tombs will lead them to discovering that their greatest treasure is God's Word. Next, we'll be joining together in worship. Pastor Nathan will continue with his second series called Together. You can pause this video at any time to set up your kids. Have a great Sunday.
Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the Come and behold him, the one and the only. Well, happy Father's Day to all of you, and hope you enjoy the day and you're able to maybe gather with a few people and just have a great time together. We're in the second message of a series called Together, and we're taking a look at the letter of Paul to the Philippian church, where Paul talks a lot about what it means to be together. Last week, we took a look at chapter 1 and reflected on Paul demonstrating togetherness by loving the church and all of his expressions of how he loves the church there in Philippi. This week, let's celebrate the ways in which we've been together, guided by Philippians chapter 2, a chapter that reveals how much our togetherness is rooted in Jesus Christ. It characterizes our togetherness so that it may well be something that we don't necessarily recognize unless we're paying attention. And Paul calls attention to it. Because what we're talking about is a togetherness that is not merely social, but first of all, that unity is in Christ, together in Christ. Remember, Paul is writing from a Roman prison some 1,300 kilometers away from the church in Philippi. And he loves that particular Philippian church. And nothing would make him happier. You would expect him to say, nothing would make me happier than being able to visit you or to be with you. But he doesn't say that. He says, nothing would make me happier than having the same mind as Christ. That is what completes Paul's joy. Here's what he says, Philippians 2, verse 1 and 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love as Christ, being one in spirit as Christ is, being of one mind, that is the mind of Christ. In other words, what does being together mean? Well, it doesn't mean much if Christ doesn't bring you together. Or another way to put it is to recognize that the church is not merely a social club. It's not merely a society that you happen to join because it has similar interests that you have. You don't join the church simply to get something out of it. We're joined together because we're joined in Christ. He draws us together in as much as we share in his attitude towards life. Church, you see, is not merely a human organization. It's not just a collection of people so that when we're unable to meet together physically, then somehow the church disappears. No, the church is a living organism drawn together in Christ. Christ is the heartbeat of our togetherness. So as far as Scripture is concerned, we are together when we gather in Christ, whether we are nearby or miles apart. We're together when we have the same mind as Christ, characterized by the love of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. We're together when we have the same attitude as Christ, characterized by humility, Paul says. We're together when we have the same perspective as Christ, or as Paul says, looking to the interests of others. Which is why, by the way, we are implementing a New Life online campus. having had all of this practice of how to do church virtually, we're recognizing that we're able to we're able to provide that togetherness in Christ even online, so that people who are separated by geographic distance, for instance, or for health reasons, or for anything else, can still connect into the body of Christ here at New Life Church through an online campus. Joined together in Christ, but joined also together in the purpose of Christ. See, it's not just an attitude of Christ that joins us together. That's the first part of chapter 2 of the letter to the Philippians. But also Christ's purpose joins us together. Because Jesus accomplished salvation for us, we are to live out that salvation in our daily lives. Or as the saying goes, we're not just saved from sin, we're saved into new life. We're saved into our salvation, a renewed life. If salvation, then, is the purpose of Christ, Christ's purpose is to bring salvation into the world, then we are together in Christ when we're called to that purpose for living, a salvation purpose. We're called to shine like stars, to let our salvation shine so that others can see it. That's what we've been doing in meeting together when we've been able to meet in person or when we've not been able to meet in person. We're working out our salvation. Or as Paul says in verse 12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He doesn't mean that we have to accomplish our salvation. That would be completely contrary to the gospel. What he means is, having salvation accomplished through Jesus Christ, work out that salvation in your daily living. That's our purpose, figuring out what it means to live daily in Christ, in the freedom that Christ has established for us, training ourselves for the routines of God's kingdom. That singleness of purpose is a powerful glue that keeps us together. That singleness of purpose produces a synergy, as Paul says, to keep at working out our salvation. So that, he says, so that I know I didn't run or labor in vain. You see, there's a synergy happening there. In other words, if you stop working out your salvation, if you stop paying attention to the purposes of Christ, then I'll more easily give up. On the other hand, if you're working out your salvation on a daily basis, working out that salvation that Christ has freely given to you, that encourages me, sets me up, synergizes one another. So as we begin to meet together again, I want to challenge us to urge one another to get back into that routine, to be working at our salvation and not just become complacent or used to the fact that, well, it was kind of easy to skip church because I could just always watch it online and so now we're just going to kind of sit back. Urge one another on to get back into the routines of what it means to live a gospel-shaped life. A singleness of purpose produces synergy, but it also helps us to endure together. Paul gets at that at verse 17. Paul insists that their perseverance will help him to rejoice. So he says, even if I'm poured out like a drink offering, I want you to persist. I want you to persevere. We're together not just in the enjoyable social fellowship opportunities that open up to us. We're together also in our suffering. Paul rejoices. Even though everything is going against him, even though he's awaiting trial, his future is uncertain, he rejoices because of the perseverance of the Christians in Philippi. A singleness of purpose produces synergy, and it helps us to endure together in the midst of hardship. A singleness of purpose also gives us joy that we can share in the joy of others. So whether our circumstances are convenient or happy or not, we're together in so much as we are glad in Christ. So after Paul acknowledges all the hardship that he faces and the encouragement of the singleness of purpose, he says, so you too, despite whatever I'm going through, you too, as you work out your salvation, as you persevere, you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Verse 18. The joy we share, in other words, the joy we share is not joy in our circumstance, but it's our joy in Christ. Let's not forget that. As we anticipate this return to normal, let's stay fixed on that. When we are out of our particular hardship, our joy is found in Christ, not in easier times or better times for us. We're joined together in the purpose of Christ. And finally, we're joined together with the heroes of Christ. Now, here's where we enter into the twist that the gospel so often presents to us. When we are together in Christ, it sometimes means being apart for the sake of Christ. It sometimes means giving up the pleasure of fellowship in order to encourage others, in order to draw others into Christ. In other words, sometimes we're the most together when we surrender the comfort of friends for the sake of others. And Paul holds up some examples of that in the latter part of chapter 2 to help the church identify with some of the heroes of gospel-shaped togetherness. These are no-agenda people. These are people like Timothy, Paul says, whom I have no one else like him, Paul describes. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Timothy is a tremendous help and a tremendous encouragement to Paul. Nevertheless, Paul says, I anticipate that I need to send him back to you. I would love to send him back to you. I have no one else like him. But if I send him back to you, he's going to show genuine concern for your welfare. And that's what Paul is after. And that's what places Paul together with the Philippian church. It's kind of curious how Paul sets this up, because he describes Timothy as a son, albeit a son in the faith. But Paul sets this up in a way that it's reflective of how God the Father sends his son Jesus Christ into the world. And so Paul says, as a son in the faith, I want to send Timothy to you. It reflects that Christ-like togetherness that is at the beginning of chapter 2 where we are to have the same attitude of Christ, the same mind of Christ, the same love of Christ. Paul mentions someone else as well, a person named Epaphroditus, who Paul says almost died for your sake. Epaphroditus apparently sent a gift from the Philippian church to Paul in Rome, and once he got to Rome, got tremendously sick and almost died. And again, just like Jesus, reflecting Paul's earlier advice to have the same mind and the same attitude of Christ who gave himself up to establish our union with Christ, Epaphroditus gave up his life for the sake of the church in Philippi. And so Paul says, I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you. He needs to go back to you. He has a tremendous love for you as well. He is of such great help to me. But Paul empties himself of that close friendship in order to strengthen others in the togetherness that they have in Christ. And so, as we come back together and enjoy the fellowship of people that we're used to being around, our friends, our loved ones, and what it means to be together, we need to ask ourselves, what does it look like to be that Christ-like person of giving up being together for the sake of greater union with Christ for the whole church? So at one and the same time, our ambition here is to be able to come back together, certainly to be able to come back together in person, indeed. What a blessing! But also what a challenge. A blessing because being together physically is what we were made for. We're called to be together, to hold one another up, to encourage one another in physical proximity, to build one another up. But it's also a challenge because the gospel paradox is that we gain togetherness when we give up being together. Just like Jesus says, if you want to gain your life, you have to give up your life. Let that be the lesson that this pandemic has taught us. Let it be the challenge as we move back to what we expect to be so-called normal. To constantly work out our salvation for the purposes of Christ so that our unity in Jesus will be strengthened, whether we are together or whether we're able to sacrifice that togetherness, the temporary togetherness, in order to be forever together, united in Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are so thankful for what you have done for us. You have accomplished salvation. You have created us in your image to be in contact with one another and to build each other up, to be in community with one another in order to encourage one another and to rejoice with one another and to be able to glorify you together. God, remind us of that even as we come back together in person and renew that sense of community among us, we pray. But also help us then to surrender all of our comforts and all of our gladness. Help us to be able to surrender it for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the body of Christ. Your church. God, we pause simply to wrap our minds around that we gain the most when we're able to surrender everything to you, even our ability to come together and enjoy each other's presence. So remind us of that, challenge us with that, God, and plant your Spirit in us so that all of our togetherness will reflect the glory of Christ and of Christ alone. So that all of our togetherness will display the wonderful salvation that you have accomplished, the redemption of the world. May it shine in all of its glory because of our togetherness. And let our togetherness, God, reveal that you've given up yourself for our sake, and we are ready to give up ourselves for your sake. And so may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go into this week confident and assured that we are always together in Christ. And where we are separated, pray that God will unite us ever stronger. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and forever. Amen.
You go before I know that you've even gone to it, my own. You come back with it of my end. You come back and you call it my victory.
So much better. What a wonderful song we just sang. It's one of my favorites, especially the chorus. It says, "Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way." We are in a sermon series called Together, and this week Pastor Nathan talked about the second chapter of Philippians and what it means to have a Christ-like selflessness. And we challenge you to think about that as you go into the week. What does it mean to give yourself up for the mission of Christ? We are able to have in-person gatherings, and we would just love to see you there. It's wonderful to see everyone walking through these doors on Sunday mornings, having fellowship, and just being together and worshiping Him. So if you'd like to sign up, our registration opens on Tuesday, and you can sign up anytime from then until Sunday. We would love to see you there. Additionally, Father's Day, we have a disc golf championship that we are having in our back parking lot. It's not too late to sign up, so bring your father and come out with your friends and your family and just have some fun, throw some discs around, and be in fellowship together. As you go, go with the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless us and keep us and cause His face to shine in us. And may He be gracious to us and show us His everlasting peace.